Okay, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. Michael, lovely to be back with you.
Such a long time.
I've missed you.
Hello, viewers.
Hello, friends. It has been a few weeks since our last podcast together. Mm-hmm. There's been a little bit of travel. There's been some vacation. You were playing your member guest last week with our good friend Nathan Brooks.
Nathan Brooks, yep. That's his last member guest.
Yeah, he's 0-2.
Yeah. See ya. Thanks for coming.
I know. Who are you going to pick next year as your member guest partner?
If my pal was actually in the country.
I'll be back, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that 2 years in a row.
So we are in the kind of, I would call it the prime of the year, the golf season right now. Obviously, we're three majors down at this point, and we've got upcoming next week, the Open Championship at Hoylake. Just for me, growing up, the nostalgia of the school holidays, of, you know, breaking up, then you've kind of got Wimbledon that happens first and then leads you into the Open Championship. And even really before I played golf, I always had a golf club in my hand during the summer holidays at that time, because it's on the television, and you kind of just have those nostalgic images of the great championships that went before. So back to Hoylake, scene of Tiger winning. Obviously Rory won out there 14, last time, 14. I think when we were picking last time, we were picking our winners for, I think it might be the PGA or something along those lines, but I do remember saying
US Open.
It was US Open. Yeah. I remember saying categorically I thought Rory would win the Open at Hoylake, and obviously played great at LACC. Mm-hmm. And I still believe that's going to be the case.
No, we thought Tiger would play. He's like, my injury, I should be healed by so many weeks. And at that time, it was like, well, that'll be open. But unfortunately, no T-dubs at the Open.
Yeah, a sort of mid-40-year-old Tiger Woods is not healing the way, obviously, the young Tiger used to. And you know, the 12-week timeline I think his doctor set for him was... You know, it was going to be a best case scenario.
Yeah, I mean, they say once you're in your 40s, there's no turning back.
You know, once upon a time I could say I wouldn't know, but that's not the case anymore.
No, happy 40th.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Yep. I turned 40, feel 50.
Look 80.
The rest is history.
You were at Wimbledon?
I was at Wimbledon.
Good time?
It was as good a sporting event as I've been at bar the 2019 Masters. That was the,
What a time to be alive.
We'll tell you a story about that another day. So Wimbledon was spectacular. Their opening day, center court, saw Djokovic play, saw Venus Williams play, Yannick Sinner play. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that's cool. Good very, day. Very cool.
So when we're talking about, obviously, the opening, we talk about nostalgia and kind of, you know, there's images etched in our minds of Tiger winning at St Andrews in 2005. You know, you were at Troon for one of the greatest last days in the history of the Open Championship, where Stenson and Mickelson went head to head in just the most outrageous round. They went, you know, toe to toe, birdie to birdie, and Stenson edged them out for an absolute classic. Yeah. What sticks out in your mind as your favorite Open Championship memory?
I mean, 16, obviously, I was there in person, sat in grandstands to sit in those yellow seats. You know, it's a cool thing to do, you know, with my dad or whatever. But I mean, any Open at St. Andrews, any Open in Scotland, no offense to any Open outside of Scotland, but it's to me, it doesn't feel the same.
I'm with you.
It doesn't feel the same.
I like Hoylake, I will say that, but, you know, Birkdale's a nice course, lovely course, fantastic course. Yeah. There's just something different when it comes to Scotland.
Well, I mean, home of golf and... It's nice. I mean, when it was in Ireland, that was even stranger for me. But yeah, me I mean, too. I'd love to go play golf in Ireland. Nothing against those other places. But yeah, it's Open Week's the best. Yeah. I'll be up at 4 a.m. to watch the first tee time and then probably fall back asleep. It's just it's cool. I've done all the majors now. And I still think outside 2019 Masters, the Open is like my favorite one to watch and be a part of. And it's different golf. It's completely different golf. I hope conditions are tough.
And that is the thing. You're absolutely right. It is kind of the one week of the year the guys play on such unique conditions.
Yeah.
And I think it narrows the field down so much. Never forget going there in I think it was maybe 2000 and 6, I think it was. I think which was the Hoy Lake that Tiger won the first one. And I was going down there because my friend Larry Watson was working at it. And he told me one of the best sort of one-liner stories I've ever heard. And Shigeki Maruyama came up to him and said, Mr. Larry, I love come play British Open, but why they no play summer?
Yeah.
And because he said every time he's got, you know, waterproofs on, he's got hats on, he's got this and that. And, you know, he was asked a serious question. Why don't they play in the summer? Love come and play here.
So true.
So true. But I think that's part of the Open Championship. You never know what you're going to get. We all know what the British summer's like, 4 seasons in a day.
Yeah.
You know, you could easily get, you know, gorgeous sun, then the next thing it's coming in sideways and it's windy, and then the wind switches 180 and you've had the front nine into the wind and you get the back nine into the wind. That's the way it is.
Yeah, it's tough. It's definitely a true test. I haven't seen photos of Hoy Lake yet. I don't know if it's burnt out. I know it's been, weather's been kind of warm, but it's also been rainy a lot in the UK. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like. I'm excited.
About 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, there was a spell. They had an unbelievably warm spell, and I think it was baked from what I heard. Okay. And I saw some pictures of some people playing it. They were on the media days and stuff like that playing it. But you're right, the last couple of weeks were quite typical of the the British summer, and there was a lot of rain. So I think it will have greened up quite a bit. But I do think they will have retained a lot of that speed in the golf course that you need in the Open Championship for the layout to play as it was intended. There's nothing worse when you've got subtle undulations on a golf course and there's contour to a green or an approach to a green and the course is soaked and you can't use them.
Right?
The ball just hits and sits.
Yeah.
That's not an open when
it's not what the course was designed for.
No, exactly.
Either.
You're supposed to use the ground, use the terrain, and obviously be able to hit the lovely little shots around the greens and see it in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's my argument to everyone who talks about the only way to defend golf is to reduce the distance the golf ball goes. Mm-hmm. Go play an Open Championship, see how you do.
Yeah.
Right? There's a different way to challenge the golfer beyond just how far the ball goes. I've always said to me that the golf ball conversation or the ball going too far is a lack of imagination from a course design standpoint. You're not designing courses the right way.
Right.
I'd far rather that was the way that they went about it rather than trying to change equipment.
Yeah, good point. Very, very good point. Who's your pick?
I'm sticking with Rory. Yeah. I think I'll stick with Rory. When did I say? It was at the US Open. I called my outsider pick was Ricky. And he almost got it done there. Obviously, he did get it done at Rocket Mortgage, which we're going to come on and talk about in a little bit. But for me, I love those two round there.
Good.
Former like horses. Them. Who do you like?
I'm still picking Scottie Scheffler.
You're just going to pick Scheffler every major until he gets another one, aren't you?
I think this is it, though.
Yeah.
Because there's a great field at the Scottish. Yeah. They're playing these kind of layout courses the same. He's going to get a feel for it, and then boom, he's going to win.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I saw some things. I didn't like some of the things I saw. I was at St Andrews last year. I watched him a lot in the range. I didn't see him controlling his golf ball the way that I saw other players control his golf ball.
He'll be fine.
I mean, it was like up there.
Yeah.
So like I can see why he's, you know, prolific on the US or the PGA Tour in the US. But listen, I love Scotty. I think it'd be great to see him do it. You know, he's great for the game. I saw a display of trajectory control and flighting the golf ball from McIlroy St Andrews last year. I never saw that prime Tiger standing behind him. And I stood behind Rory on the range for a good hour on the Wednesday beforehand. And there was, on that line that day, there was Spieth, there was Justin Thomas, there was Adam Scott, there was like a list, there was like a string of top tier players. Mm. And I can't tell you how different Rory hit it from all of them.
Really?
Like it was like watching, you know, an F1 car doing its thing and then watching some, you know, Formula 3 tears down. It was that
level.
Different.
Yeah.
It was like the sound, the flight, everything about it. So we'll see. He's obviously been working some things with his swing and it worked almost to perfection at LA Country Club.
Has it been 8 years, 9 years?
Since his win?
Yeah.
He had 9. A lot of majors have passed since
that's
he got one.
A lot of golf. That is a lot of golf.
Too many. For somebody of that quality, far too many majors have passed. You know, he's got to get one, and he's got to get a taste for winning these things. You know, I think LACC, he was right there. The Open Championship last year at St Andrews, he was. I mean, that was his to.
No, he should have won that. Yeah,
he should have won that. You know, he played too conservative, in my opinion. He got himself too far from the hole, and it wasn't that he played back. He probably was hitting it just about where he was trying to hit it, and just thought he'll take care of the par fives. Yeah. A couple of good approach shots will present themselves, and he'll take care of business there. But when you get stuck in neutral in golf, and then the other guys get the floor down, he's going through the gears. And he's just able to, you know, go past you. And then ended up two of them went past them. You know, Cam Young.
I forgot about Cam Young.
Tell you, I saw some footage of his swing the other day. Somebody posted some things online. And it was, you know, I love the motion of it. I will say, I don't love the pause. I don't love the pause. That, you know,
it's longer than a Hideki.
Longer than a Hideki.
Hideki has a smoother transition. His is a bit, I don't know, a bit too rough.
Definitely. But when you see that golf swing broken down and still
so good.
Images, my God, it's as good as it gets. It really is. So maybe he's an outsider. You know, he'll be getting into confidence, haven't played it well at St Andrews last week. So, you know, as a sort of, you know, good, better, best scenario, I'd say Cam Young for me, Ricky and Rory would be my three. Yeah,
that's pretty good. I'd go Scotty. I'd love to see, I mean, Ricky obviously played well at the US Open, and he's won now since then. But I don't know. I don't know who to pick. I guess Scotty, Max.
You like Homa?
And
he was flighting good last year. Yeah, I think that's an important thing over there. Like, you watch these guys and how do they deal with the wind? He was good. He was flighting it down quite a lot. And he's got that nice little kind of tight golf swing that produces a lot of speed, but it's a lovely tight golf swing.
And it pains me. Pains me for the third one.
Oh, who's this?
But it's going to be Brooks Koepka.
Interesting.
Guy just likes a major.
Surely the sleeper, though, that no one has mentioned, which is ridiculous, is Taylor Gooch. I mean, look how many times... look how many times he's won in LIV. But three times in the last, like, 2.5 months?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, against DJ, I know it's not the deepest field, but you're still beating DJ and informed Brooks... Cam Smith is back on form, clearly, having won the last one in London.
Yeah.
You know, there beat a lot. He beat a lot of top players, and he doing it with the lead and coming from behind. I mean,
is he even in the Open?
That's a good point.
I don't think he is in the Open.
You're joking.
No, because of the world, like...
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, no, he's at home sitting.
We're going to find... I'm going to find out before this podcast. Once you're chatting, I'm going to do a quick Google search on that to see if Taylor Gooch is.
But I'm going with he's not playing in the Open. He doesn't qualify for it.
Wow. We'll cut this bit out there. In the podcast.
Leave it in.
So Ricky winning at Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah.
Good for golf?
Great for golf. We were talking, I was playing with guys that weekend, and they're like, oh, wow, it's like going to be great to see Ricky win. And I said to him, I was like, I feel like I grew up with him. Yeah. I mean, he started in 2009 or 8 or whatever on tour, like, kids wearing orange. I worked at golf retail when he was big. I mean, every kid was wearing orange. I did not wear orange.
Not many have influenced a generation the way that Ricky did.
Yeah.
You know, we know good players like Nolan Piazza, you know, who's been a long time client of ours at TXG. Yeah. And, you know, Nolan just like, I guarantee Nolan was in tears.
He was a massive Ricky fan.
Posts about it all the time. And, you know, I don't know if anyone outside of the obsession people have with Tiger, we are in that conversation as well. I don't know if there's anyone.
No, you had guys like you have the Rory guys, the Spieth guys.
Yeah.
But I haven't met anyone that's like, I don't like Ricky.
I know.
Like everyone's just like, you know, good guy and, you know, just happy for him regardless what he does. So
I think the only thing I ever heard people hold against him was his sort of commercial presence didn't match his sort of winning record on tour. Mm. So he'd do his Mercedes stuff, he'd do all his ads. And we can sort of confirm, you know, from the Cobra Puma perspective, like they say he is absolutely the best person to work with.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think, you know, how many championships has Shaquille O'Neal won? and he does ads for everything.
Yes.
He's got his own grills, his own toothbrush, pedicure company. The guy owns probably, I don't know, I heard he owns like 100 franchises or something, and he's won, I'm not a basketball guy, he's won
four.
Four.
I know he's won four, right? Because there was the big thing with him and Kobe around, you know, Shaq smashed his house up when Kobe won number five.
Right, okay.
When he saw him won number five, and in that whole like stand up with the five rings, and you know, that was, yeah, that was, yeah, a reference,
yeah,
to Shaq.
Yeah.
That he got the extra.
Yeah, music career. He's big into acting, video games, TV, advertising. Like, it might not match up with your wins, but hey, I'll do some ads for Rolex, no problem. No issues.
Yeah, no, it would not be a bad sponsor to have for sure.
But three wins in a row with this jailbird putter?
We were talking about it, weren't we, in the Q&A on Monday? Like, is this just, you know, I call it lightning in a bottle, but when I say that, obviously I just mean like, is it just pure luck?
Yeah.
You know, that it's happened at this time. Is it a foreign player who's just performed players, and Wyndham Clark and Ricky, who was the other one?
Keegan Bradley. Yeah.
I think when you start to go beyond, you know, those guys, like, I think there's maybe a little bit more, or maybe do you think that seeing Ricky play great, obviously his putting stats have came back up where he was struggling, Wyndham Clark winning that major, do you think somebody, like, the whole, you know, bowing to the putter.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
Right? Do you think that's just more of like, oh, this putter must really be good? Do you think there's a psychological gain to when you there's a lot of hype? You can't go anywhere on, you know, social media without seeing
these
putters go for $1,500, $2,000 on eBay. You know, that type of thing.
I always like look back, okay, when the putter was released in 2011 or whenever the putter was out, how many people use it? How many people did you know use it? How many people did I know use it? How many were on tour? I wasn't going to go out of the gates here and go, not many.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you get these boys who, someone like a Wyndham, someone like a Keegan, someone like a Ricky who's struggling.
Yeah.
Needs to win something. He's just like, I'm going to try anything.
Mm-hmm.
Finds, I'm going to call it a value bin putter.
Yeah.
Puts a bunch of lead tape, tinkering, probably built it in his own house. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just making a bunch of, you know, things up. All of a sudden starts draining putts on the course, takes it on, and then it sticks in the bag. Yeah. So I don't think you're going to see many more guys on tour using it. I'm sure a lot of guys have found them and have tinkered with one. I know you want to tinker with one.
I want to. I'm in.
But it's, who knows?
Taylor Gooch is in the field for the Open.
Okay, there you go.
I've had to stop the podcast, shut it down, everybody go home until I find that out. Start again.
Nothing against the jailbird whatsoever. I think it's a good putter. Had those micro hinges on it.
Those micro hinges are interesting.
Yeah.
I think there's somewhat good and bad. I just think when you've got edges on a golf ball and you've got edges on a putter, that's a little bit of a recipe for something funky to happen. I've always thought that. I'm like, what happens if the edge of this dimple, like the side corner of a, you know, a micro hinge in the side corner, like, can that influence it to knock it offline? Can it influence it? Like, they it really lifts the ball.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And gives it tons, like the angled upper sort of section of the hinge. It really does work. Yeah,
we need a Callaway engineer on to talk about micro hinge.
We could easily do that.
And the jailbird.
Yeah, we should. We absolutely should. One of the things I was actually thinking of for today, I was trying to get our pal Johnny Wonder to join us from
over in God's country.
Yep. Which we may want to still try and get that done. But we'll send him a quick little note to see if he's available. But
yeah.
Would be cool to get some inside info. He's at the Scottish Open at Renaissance this week. Good field over there.
Good field. Very good field. Too many big names. There's another pick you could use for the Open. Sungjae Im. I love Sungjae.
Definitely. He's fantastic.
So good. Xander, JT, Patrick Cantlay, Tom Hogue, Spieth, Fitzpatrick, Hovland. I mean, it is Adam Scott, Corey Connors.
A lot of big names there. I mean, you've named two guys there and Corey Connors and Victor Hovland. I'm like, oh, they could be They could be sneaky. They always play good. Those two guys always play good.
Yeah.
Just solid ball strikers. And it's just a case of do they have a good plan? Mm. Yeah. And you know, how's the putter? Because both of those guys just hit it so good day in, day out.
So good. Yeah. So good. Yeah, no, it's an impressive field. And Scottish Open's always cool. I've never been to a Scottish Open, but it's always nice to see Scotland on TV.
Yeah, it was. So I was lucky enough to be there with Joe Hughes, who runs our club champion store in Glasgow. He and I were there on the Wednesday, and when I was with him last week, we were saying how, you know, sad we were that we weren't going to be able to go back there because we had such a good day there last year. Albeit it's the middle of July and I was literally in full Galvin Green waterproofs. Yeah. And it wasn't even raining. It was just that cold.
Cold. Yeah, tried to stay.
Like, how is that?
I know. It's there's only two places in the world I'll play golf in the rain. In cold weather.
Augusta National.
And Scotland. That's it. Other than that, you can catch me inside having a cup of tea.
Aye. That's a warm beverage.
Yeah.
It'll be a good week this week. Obviously, Xander is defending champion. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a chance that certainly he goes back there, gets some good vibes, and it spurs him on. He's somebody who could turn up any given. I mean, he played pretty good at LACC. Just kind of didn't quite have it on the weekend, but going back there and, you know, good ball striker, somebody who hits it very strong with that kind of like draw flight that he's got.
Yeah.
He's going to sneak up and win one of these things as well.
I mean, that's another person. A lot of majors have gone by and Xander Schauffele hasn't broken.
He's going to get one, and he's going to get one. He's kind of, I would say, Xander's finding himself into that Sergio category of, you know, one of, if not the best player not to have won one.
Yeah.
He's on that list. You know, it's not a list you want to be on. You want to get off that list as soon as you can.
Yeah.
But he's definitely very close to the top.
But I read this is the first Open Sergio hasn't played in like so many years. 90, he failed to qualify.
19 years, I think I saw it was, years. Or
that's
something.
That's got to hurt a bit. I like Sergio.
Yeah, I mean, I had some experiences with him back in the TaylorMade days that weren't positive. Not me personally. I was there though when you know he wasn't the best version of himself. I'll say that. I now know someone in Texas who's his kids go to Sergio's kids' school.
Okay,
and so they see him and Angela dropping the kids off all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So they are quite social with the Garcias, and he says he's awesome.
Yeah,
he said he's awesome to be
around.
He
looks like a nice guy.
He's always asking, like, you know, the families, like, do you want us to pick up the kids? You know, if you've got something on, or, you know, bring the kids over, they can play in the pool and do all that sort of stuff. Like, as a person, I think, you know, he's no doubt about it, matured. He can have his hot flashes on the golf course like anyone else, but he's a Spaniard. He's emotional.
It's okay. Exactly.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of emotion, so... no, it's a shame. He's one of those guys, again, that could have a bit of an Indian summer, you know, if he was on there, if he was able to play, you know, in these majors and stuff like that. But with the platform he's on now with Liv, until something changes, when is his next one he's going to play?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, Poulter not in an Open's weird. And it's like him not being in a Ryder Cup's weird.
It's not good, is it?
It's not good.
I know.
It's not good at all.
Well, I think there's a podcast upcoming where we dig into that stuff a little bit deeper because I do want to discuss, you know, this new Liv situation, or the future of Liv. Is it going to change? Are they going to ditch the, you know, the sort of three-round scramble format?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rumours that Norman's out, Tiger and Rory each are going to own, you know, teams and stuff
they
like that.
They ask for a membership at Augusta.
Unreal.
That's so good.
Unreal.
If you're going to go to court... you might as well put it all on the table and ask.
I know. Why not? So yeah, no, that's, I think that was for another day for sure. But we want to kind of recap our trip to California. We were down there testing the Gen 3 Titleist T-Series irons, T100, 150, 200, 350. Takeaways?
Good product. I mean, T-Series for us, since we've been Open, Gen 1, Gen 2, always been popular for us. T100S, probably our number one selling iron from Titleist. I had a set of T100S.
Yeah, I did as well.
They didn't last that long.
I didn't either.
When I went for my fitting, that my guy asked, he's like, what do you want? Because he knows we play everything. He's like, what would you want to see? And I was like, I just need to see the ball go high so I can stop it on a green. And he goes, okay, try this. And we tried T100 right away. And then he gave me 150 and a couple different specs, a little bit flatter and shorter and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden the ball starts running up. The face strike is better. And I looked at him after like three shots. I don't like to hit a ton of balls. And I was like, our fit's done. He's like, what do you mean? I was trust me, it's done. Like, I trust
you. You know what you're looking for. Yeah. You know what it looks like when it's good.
Yeah. And you were still getting warmed up.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, no, we're done. Let's keep going. So we tried other things. But the new T-Series irons, I've played a T200 4-iron for the last part of a year.
Yeah.
I didn't think they could beat it. All of a sudden, hit new T200. Yeah, look, the engineer, the guy that designed it, standing right behind Marty's me as we're right testing it. And I said, holy, this is pretty good.
You swore.
I swore. And he just started to laugh. And he goes, good, I'm glad we got it out of your bag. It's the new stuff is, can't talk tech yet. But the stuff is, it sounds great. It looks fantastic. They've done a really good job.
Yeah, I think we can talk performance without talking engineering, sort of, capabilities and sort of what they've done with the design. We actually done a video on it on Monday, which we will we will release. So like Mike said, we were both fitted into new irons. So we tested my PXGs because I was really happy with those PXGs. I explained a while back why I was in them versus the i230s and what I loved about them that I didn't fall in love with the 230s for. And then obviously, I've not made any decisions. I've not certainly kicked the PXGs out of the bag, but you know, this set of Titleist irons are definitely set up in a way that I'm really, really pleased with them.
Yeah,
so
they are. I mean, there's a video on the channel that you did, I don't know, with me maybe 4 years ago.
Right.
And you fit me for a set of AP2s with Modus 105, half inch under.
Yeah.
Everything about it was fine other than I was like, I'm not using half inch under.
Yeah.
And then they got me a set of these irons that are half inch under. And when he said, I was like, well, I'll just reshaft them. If I don't like them, I'll just reshaft them. I know a builder. And then the irons arrived on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I got a text on my phone. See you at I had an inner club event. See you at the club. And I'm no player. I just, whatever. See you at the event. And I looked at you. I'm like, I got to go get a dress shirt. I got to go figure this stuff out. First day, I hit three balls. The club I play doesn't really have a range. I hit three balls and I looked at the face and on the 7-iron. They were all in the center of the face.
Yeah.
And some boys that follow me on Instagram or whatever, they're standing behind me laughing. They're like, are you playing them? I was like, let's just play them. Let's see who cares. Anyways, end up playing well and shooting a decent score. So I'm 6 or 7 rounds in with the iron so far.
Handicap is dropping.
Handicap is dropping. This, you know what? It's too much stress with when your handicap drops because you got to play well. You can't now go throw up an 80 when you've been shooting 73s and 75s and 74s. Like, it's just, you can't.
But
also, who cares?
Well, and I explained this the other day. The handicap is a byproduct of playing to that level.
Yeah,
that's the level you've been playing to. So there's no pressure. You know, the only time people struggle to shoot low scores is when you try to shoot low scores.
Right, and that's what happened last weekend. Friday, the Thursday, the handicap drop, I text you that photo, and the Friday was one of the worst rounds. I haven't missed a fairway in 10 years.
Yeah.
I missed two of them.
Right.
And like, gone.
Yeah, there's a few balls.
And we finished and my partner was like, what's up? And I was like, all I focused on was this 1.9 index, this 1.8 index.
I've only got one shot in the front nine, and one shot in the back nine.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just like, who cares? And Saturday we go out and we both shoot like 71 or 72, whatever, with 73, whatever we shot. And you're just like, why did I care that much? But I mean, it's a goal to be scratched. That would be a life goal. And I said to you at the beginning of this year, okay, I'm a 3.3 or whatever. I think it's harder when you're from a 5 to a 0. I think it's hard to get from a 5 to a 0.
It's a longer road for sure.
And then this is the first time where this year I've actually been playing. Now, I play a lot of golf at one course, but I started figuring it out. And so the irons are staying in the bag right now. Yeah. The mirrors are resting.
Yeah, give them a... They're always there. They're always in the background. They're that kind of, trusty, reliable set of clubs that never let you down. But they also... You're a little bit limited in what they're going to provide you. Also,
totally.
I think I'd love you to change your mindset a little bit on scoring as you get towards a scratch handicap, because this kind of mindset of I have to try to shoot a low score. Yeah. you've got to let a low score come to you.
You've
got to just let it come to you. And, you know, I think once you start to do that, you'll start to see how easily they do come because you're so close to it. You know, I always just think as long as you know physically there's not one hole on that course you cannot birdie, which on your course, there's not one hole you cannot birdie on that golf course.
That's true.
You're never far away from a good score then.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, good point.
You know, I played recently, bet my home course. It's not the hardest start in the world, but at the weekend, I make a nice up and down on one for par and then a bogey 2 and 3. And it's like, all of a sudden, I probably should have been 3 over through 3. I'm 2 over through 3. And then it's like, to be honest, I didn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I absolutely did not care. And I ended up birdieing 6 holes in the middle of the round and ended up shooting a really good score. But it was purely off the fact that I just didn't care that I had a bad start. Yeah, I know at some point I'm going to hit a bunch of good shots and, you know, it's not far away. It's never far away. So
when I was younger, if I started like par, bogey, bogey, automatically I thought, okay, my round's over.
Yeah.
And then it would just get worse and you end up bogeying everything you shoot 84, right? Yeah. Now it's like, I think of it and like, okay, I've even bogeyed one.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, whatever. If I par in, I'm one over, who cares? Yeah. And then I end up playing a better round. So it doesn't get to me as much, but as soon as that cap got into the ones, I was like, oh man, this is too much pressure.
It's where it's where you want it to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where you're at.
Yeah.
So we have new titles irons in the bag. And so let's talk about what we got fit for. So we were very, very similar. And what we got.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, so we neither of us get fit into T100s.
No.
Which I was happy with. We were both 150s.
150s. I was 6 to...
Were you pitching wedge?
6 to pitching wedge.
Yeah, and I was 6 to 9 iron.
Right.
In 150s. Because I've got my SM9 46 degree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we both... No, what did you get as a 5 iron?
T200.
So I got a T2 as well, and you got 4 iron as a four T2. Iron.
As that utility built thing that I've done.
Yes. And I've got the U505.
Yeah.
3 iron.
Yeah.
Cut to a 4 iron length though.
And they got me a new gap wedge. So he didn't want me to go into the set T150 gap wedge. Yeah. He's like, makes let's sense. Just get you a 48 degree Vokey. And that's been really good as well. So AMT black S300s, half inch under. Shafts feel fine.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll put Modus back in. I miss a Modus.
They're good. So while I was home in Scotland, I had the pleasure of visiting Club Champion Scotland, the first Club Champion store internally owned outside of a sort of a merger or acquisition in terms of us or Golf Principles down in London. This is the first international store that Club Champion has opened. It's really impressive.
Yeah.
Really, I really love the layout. I think it's... If I could duplicate that store and just set up that exact blueprint everywhere all over the world,
good layout, I would do lots of space.
Tons of space, tons of height, tons of light. You know, it's really got everything you need. I love the putter studio.
I do like their putter studio. It's nice.
Yeah. It's just, they're very lucky with the amount of space they've got and they've got room to grow as well.
Okay.
You know, in a time when, you know, they go from having 2 bays and needing 3 and needing 4, they can easily expand that in and the space is perfect.
Yeah,
and, you know, I think I've got a belief that the club fitting experience is not about, you know, what tools you have. It's about who your fitter is.
Yeah, totally.
It's all about who your fitter is, I believe. And I think in Joe and Dane, there's two awesome guys, awesome fitters, great experience. And two guys that will really steer that ship well over there.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think club fitting is as popular over in Scotland or the UK as much as it is here?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
They're not still like, you know, big box or what's it called? American Golf.
American Golf is the dominant. That's like Golf Town here in Canada. Yeah, I mean, still more people will do that until we, you know, are able to present the messaging to, you know, hopefully tell them not to. And videos like the one, you know, we released yesterday with Case and his driver fit, where you, you know, we fit him into, you know, a new driver. I mean, that's the purpose of those types of videos, is to show people the opportunity that's out there. Why underperform when you don't have to?
Yeah.
You know, I was reading through the comments of that last night. People are like, this guy doesn't need, you know, a new driver. He needs lessons. It's like, he's went from hitting it 260 to hitting it 320 and he's hitting it straight. Why do you want what do you want him to go get lessons for?
Yeah.
Like, unless the lessons are to try to achieve that outcome, we just gave him that outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you not rather the guy go work in his putting or his chipping totally. Or some other part of his game that is going to help from a strokes gain perspective, you know, shoot lower scores? You know, I believe in lessons as much as the next guy, but at the end of the day, you know, he probably walked in there going, if I pick up 20 yards here, this would be great. He's walked out 60.
Yeah, yeah. Like his
crazy.
His life in golf,
yeah,
on golf course, and it's going to work out for him because he was fit for it and it's built right to his specs. It is life changing.
Yes, should never be the same again.
As soon as someone picks up 20 plus,
yeah.
And we see it in the bay all the time. Not all the time. I don't want to say you can come in here, you're going to pick up 80 yards.
Right.
But when you pick someone up 40 yards or 30 yards and you just look at them and you kind of, I'm pretty relaxed with that. I just go, I mean, I tell them like, that's got to be a game changer for you. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, can I get the driver tomorrow? I'm like, okay, well, relax a second.
Yeah.
But for him, as a good player, plays in a lot of state ams and stuff.
Yeah.
That's got to be, his strokes gained on that's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
It's going to make a big difference. And it obviously is a young player playing college golf. It's exciting to think that he's, you know, he's got a brighter future now. You know, he's going to enjoy the game a little bit more. I was actually texting with him yesterday and, you know, he was telling me actually the driver's going fractionally too low. I was like, awesome. That I love that because we always talk about, you know, if the ball's going too high or the spin rate's too high, you know, if we bring it down a little bit, the chances are we've not brought it down enough.
Right, right.
I would rather go way down.
Way down, yeah.
In which we did, like, we ordered him a tour-only strong cog. We turned the loft down 2 degrees on draw setting, so it makes it a little bit more upright, fractionally more closed in the face angle. And to be honest, I would have hoped to have got that message from him that it was fractionally too low, because I just said to him, great, you know, turn it back up to -1 in draw, and then let me know how it goes.
I had a customer send me a message over Instagram the other night, and they're like, how did you get him to like start rotating and closing the face and actually moving strike? And I'm like, well, with loft, I said, but we also were playing around with the cog setting where like we would put a tour cog on it, and the guy goes, would you do that for every fitting? And I'm like, well, I wouldn't do it for every fitting if you don't need it. I said, but we have access to, if you need that strong or flat cog, and it's not every OEM does it, but we have those in our toolbox that we can do that, no issues. And the guy's like, I'm booking a fitting. And he goes, I want a tour cog. I'm like, do you just want a tour cog or do you actually need one? There's a massive difference. But for him, like I said earlier, I think it was cool to see. That's a lot of yardage. I hope his coach watched it and put some A1 player number one for the season, because he's just going to bomb it.
Yeah, I mean, I've believed this for quite some time. I believe college teams need to have a club fitting outfit that manage their team's golf equipment. I've thought about it for quite some time, that, you know, if you had a specialist that came in and worked with the team, call it start of the season, you know, a couple of months after that, and you worked with them for 6 to 8 months and maybe saw them 3 or 4 times, you know, just let these talented players, male or female, let these talented players go out there and just freewheel it and express themselves on the golf course and just not be held back by the equipment. I mean,
pull up that tour truck to NC and any number one division 2, 3, NAIA, doesn't matter, to those schools, and give those kids that opportunity, because the guys on tour, the ladies on tour, they have those trucks. If something goes wrong, they can go see Titleist, Cali, TaylorMade, whoever they need. But you're right, these universities need a club consultant or whatever it is to, they're like, totally agnostic. Now, some clubs or some schools are sponsored by certain clubs. I get it.
Yeah.
But still, you can really dive in extra for these kids.
You can. So last but not least, Michael, is a new segment to the podcast. What's in the bag this week?
This is you, not me. I don't change.
You've made some changes.
I made some changes. I ordered a new 60 degree wedge last night.
Did you?
58. 58.
I was going to say, after that conversation we had, you've went against me.
No, I went with you.
Okay, so let's run through it.
Driver's the same.
TSR3
Autoflex.
Yeah.
Three was the same. Stealth Plus with a Acura TZ6.
Never changing.
Five woods changed. Don't know how long that's going to last. I went from TSR3 to TSR2.
Yeah.
Ventus Red to a DI. And I think it's the shaft more than anything.
You think you prefer the
Ventus Red?
The red?
Yeah.
You love a DI.
I know,
well.
I love a
DI.
It
must pain you
to
say that.
Hurts me to say that. But it was also too flat. So I've lofted, I put it back to A1.
Right. Yeah, you don't need flat.
No.
Flat's not good for you.
And see how that plays. I need to go play. I've been trying to play this week, but so busy with work. I'll see what that's like.
Yeah.
Four irons the same. Old Faithful. Oof. My four iron hasn't come in yet.
Oh, has it not?
No.
Okay. So your T200 with your DI.
Yeah, DI 95S. Yeah.
95S, lovely. Yeah.
Love. Oh. Great club.
Yeah.
T200, 5 iron, 6 to wedge, T150s, 48 degree SM9, 55 degree Artisan, and a 60 degree low bounce K.
Soon to be. We'll leave that. Yeah. Leave that. That's to come. Yeah. That's for the next episode when they're in the bag.
You know what it is though? Mid-size grips on the wedges.
Game changer?
Yeah, I don't know. Just on those Artisans, they feel so good. It's not really a mid-size. It's a built-up. It's called the Lambkin Players Plus.
Sure. Yeah, so it's got that kind of reduced taper to it.
Yeah, I need to find some because we don't have any and it feels good.
Yeah, I was just thinking in the shower this morning that I need to go a little bit extra wraps in my grip.
You found that out in the shower?
Sure,
oh, geez.
I was like, that feels better, man. I do want to go extra wraps. So, and I've increased it from one wrap to two, and I want to go from two to three with the new decade. I like it. Feels good. Feels really, really good to me. So, TSR4 is sort of in the bag right now for me. I love that SIM2 titanium. I'm not changing that anytime soon.
New club season's coming.
No. That's in the bag.
Unfortunately, that means winter's coming, but new club season is coming.
Yep. SIM2 titanium 5-wood. And this is where it gets interesting. We were talking about this yesterday, weren't we, as to what kind of stays in the bag. And we done a video that I'll go out on a limb and say, in recent memory, it's my favorite video we've done on the channel.
Mm.
We haven't released it yet. It's about how to hit more greens in regulation and talking about...
Everyone needs to watch this video.
Everybody needs to watch this video and send it to your friends and ask them to send it to their friends.
And if you do, you will win some merch.
But, you know, it was really, really impactful. And it was good for me to see that, you know, we tested a 3-iron, a hybrid and a 7-wood and kind of looked at all their merits and how basically to try and kind of improve proximity, try and improve greens and regulation. And it was even, I knew the concept of the message I was trying to get across, but it was truly eye-opening for me to have our cameras, you know, on the tee with me when I was hitting and also have the drone at the back of the green, watching the balls come down to hit the green and watch the reaction of how the balls hit the green and whether they stick or whether roll or whatever they do, the ball's reaction, so different. So I'm going to make some changes to my own bag based definitely on that. I can't believe what I say. I'm pretty sure the right thing for me to do right now is go 5 head covers, 6 if you include the putter.
Jeez, oh.
Driver, 3-wood, 5-wood, 3 hybrid, because realistically I don't flight a 5-wood down and I don't flight a 4 hybrid down. It's hard for me to do that. And 3 hybrid goes a bit shorter than a 5-wood. I hit 5-wood quite a bit further than that. So there is a need for me to have those clubs, and I'm going to ditch a wedge to do it. But there's going to be 5 head covers.
So no 4 hybrid.
4 hybrid's going to be in there. Driver, 3-wood, 5-wood. 3 hybrid, 4 hybrid.
You're going to have 6 head covers.
Including the putter, yeah.
Oh my.
5 iron, 6 iron, 7 iron, 8 iron, 9 iron, 46, 52, 58 putter, 14 sticks. That's going to be a wild scene.
Really dropping a wedge for that?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Definitely. For me, whether I pitch with a 50, or a 55 to pitch with a, I think it makes more sense for me to simplify it, that I'm flighting it down with 52 or up with 58.
Yeah.
Makes way more sense for me. I sometimes get stuck. I'm a horrible pitcher with a 60 anyway. Always have been. Never really been that good.
Yeah.
And I think that's a golf industry wide thing, or a golf, you know, sport wide thing. Most people are junk with a 60.
We'll get you one of those cart bags that have the individual slots for all your clubs. Oh boy.
Yeah, they'll get the wee lock on it, the wee bag lock, and so they don't fall out.
Embarrassment.
You know your old when.
Yep, no kidding.
So yeah, I think that's going to be in the bag for me.
A lot of head covers.
We'll see. There's a lot of clubs at the top end of the bag and they all get jammed in together, and it's a bit frustrating. Yeah,
it won't last.
I don't know. I would say it's got a real good chance anyway.
You like T200 so much, you just put a 4-iron in the bag.
No. I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable because I've got the 5-iron T200.
Yeah.
And I can roast that thing. You know, that's got 215 in the locker if I want it to, or if I need it to. So I just a 4-iron for me, I just look at a 4-iron in my bag in particular and go, you're not really any use to me.
Or not that much value.
Good point.
Yeah.
So I can kind of do things with, I can hit a high 4 hybrid, or I can hit a low turning 5 iron. Either does the job.
Yeah, good point.
So we'll see. So this is going to be a weekly segment. We're going to update you guys. We're always trying things. You know, there'll be updates as to what shafts have come through that companies want us to try. When there's new wedges, like the 5408M grind.
The raw one.
Wedge works.
Right hand only.
Sorry, lefties. Too bad again for you guys. But there's always stuff coming through the door for us to test. And that's why we tinker. We don't tinker because, you know, we'll get something wrong with us, I don't think. But we tinker because, you know, we get all this stuff to try, and it helps us help you.
Yeah,
when
totally.
It comes to...
But we get to know the product more.
Yeah.
We get to know the product. It might not last more than 3 hours and 25 minutes on a Sunday, but at least we've tried it.
That's okay. That is okay. All right, guys. Jeez, that was a lot of talk. You can really talk, boy.
I know. That's a first.
That was good fun. I really enjoyed that. Lots to catch up on. That's why it was an extra long podcast from us today.
We're going to try to do this weekly.
Yeah, bi-weekly. I don't think we're away. I don't think there's any travel coming up. We've been, you know, with our California travel. Have you got anything planned?
No, I wish. Not yet.
You've not submitted a request anyway. Denied.
All right, very good.
I know. Our next trip will be together. We'll be away. We're in somewhere in Long Island.
That needs some planning.
Yes, we're going to plan that.
Whiteboard session in the theatre.
Exactly, the theatre room. While sipping up Pimm's. All right, guys, enough nonsense from us. We will see you next time in the podcast.